Blog Talk Radio.
This is our common ground, alternative activist empowerment talk radio, speaking truth to power and ourselves.
Who are you? You don't know. Don't tell me Negro, that's nothing. What were you before the white man named you a Negro? And where were you? And what did you have? What was yours? What language did you speak then?
As you honor our forefathers and foremothers, I urge you to honor our living heroes. When you honor the names of Nat Turner, Harriet Tubman, and Malcolm X, I urge you to honor the names of Geronimo, Gijaga, Sundiata, Okoli, Mutulu Shakur, and Mumia Abu-Jamal.
America's chickens! Coming home to roost. Violence begets violence. Hatred begets hatred. And terrorism begets terrorism.
Our common ground, speaking truth to power and ourselves.
I'm Janice Graham, and I'll be listening for you. Thank you for being with us. Stay tuned.
Just like the city that stagger on the coastline, and a nation that just can't stand much more. Like the forest buried beneath the highway, never had a chance to grow. Never had a chance to grow. And now it's winter, winter in America. Yes, and all of the heroes have been killed or sent away. Yeah, but the people know it's winter.
And thank you for being with us here at Our Common Ground tonight. I'm Janice Graham. Good to have you with us on this Saturday following a huge week of unprecedented changes in both the American scene, political, cultural, however, and over there in Twitterville, they're arguing about whether or not Touré is a closeted gay, hanging on Twitter and mentioning his wife. I mean, I think that we have some things that are going on. It's that is much more important. I hope you were able to check out our interview, live interview with Marissa Alexander on yesterday as Our Common Ground special at 2 p.m. We talked with her for nearly an hour, allowing her to give her side of the story, because it seems as though it didn't count in her trial. It didn't count in the prosecutor's measurement of what charges should be brought about, even in the face of evidence of perhaps impeachable perjury. She was sentenced to 20 years in prison. We can talk about that tonight. Our guests, our scheduled program is not going to go forth, so we're just going to sit back and let you kind of measure us on what we need to be talking about, because it has just gotten more and more crazy. I want to go back to our discussion from last week, talking about the traps of oppression and what keeps us mired in some kind of self-contained process of the continuation of oppression against us. And we're going to open our mics all night for your feedback, for your impressions, for you to be able to express what you think is important and where we ought to be headed and what the issues and solutions might be. Our number is 347-838-9852, and this is Our Common Ground. You know, we're gonna take a lot of breaks tonight because I think we need to take cleansing breaths because it has gotten really, really crazy. Crazy in the sense that we have a president who announces a non-discrimination policy, a policy which is freed from religious religious direction governance of our civic laws, and it seems like, especially in our community, that the homophobe thought processes are trying to legitimize that homophobia. Another story that caught my eye was over at Counterpoint, and it had to do with the recall of a Merck drug. Merck is one of the largest pharmaceutical companies, and it issued a sudden recall back in 2004 of Vioxx. It's an anti-pain medication, and it's widely used to treat arthritis-related ailments. And if you have ever suffered from any kind of arthritic condition, you know that if your doctor says this will help, you'll go for it. Well, there was a scandal that surfaced in China in 2008, right before the Beijing Olympics. Crooked dairymen diluted their milk products and then added a plastic chemical compound called melamine to raise the protein content back to normal levels, where, well, as a result, nearly 300,000 babies across China suffered urinary problems, with many hundreds requiring lengthy hospitalization for kidney stones, and six died. Now you might say, Tanis, what does this have to do with the other? Well, the American conservative has produced a compelling comparison between the way the Chinese dealt with one of their drug scandals, melamine that we just referenced in baby formula, and how the U.S. has handled the Vioxx aspirin substitute disaster. Want to talk about that for a while. Want to talk about the sentencing of Marissa Alexander to 20 years in prison. Want to talk about the radical history of Mother's Day, which is coming up tomorrow. And we also want to talk about resurrecting glass Glass-Steagall. J.P. Morgan Chase, the largest bank in the nation, whose chief executive, Jamie Dimon, has led Wall Street's war against regulation, announced Thursday it had lost, get this, $2 billion in trades over the past 6 weeks and is looking at an additional loss of $1 million due to excessively risky bets. And the CEO indicated that the bets were poorly executed. These are his words, poorly monitored. And as a result of sloppiness and bad judgment. But not to worry, because they admit it and they say they will fix it and move on. And Robert Reich, the former Secretary of Treasury, has really posed the question, and it is an appropriate one. Move on, because he's indicating that word on the street is that J.P. Morgan's exposure is so large that it can't dump these bad bets without affecting the market and losing even more money. And we have known for a very long time that these kind of losses mount over periods of time. And there were some rumors about a London-based Morgan trader making huge high-staker bets a couple of weeks ago, several weeks ago. And when asked about it, Dimon called it a complete tempest in a teapot. We have been sitting around in this country hoping that Wall Street will mend itself. But what just happened here this week, or we just found out this week, that there is a lack of a compass in the leadership in these Wall Street companies. And they always come with this cavalier kind of dismissal, with some false reassurances. But we know how fragile and opaque the banking system continues to be. And we need to ask the question of our elected officials of the Congress why Glass-Steagall should not be resurrected, and why the Dallas Fed's recent recommendation that Wall Street's giant banks be broken up should not be implemented. So that is one of the things, and I do want to talk to you about the history of Mother's Day. As most of you know, this will be the first Mother's Day that I will be without my mother. But it was really interesting because the week prior to Mother's Day, on years that I'm unable to be with her, I have always had kind of a ritual. You find, my mother loved chocolates, and you find the chocolates, then you find the flowers. You make sure that they're delivered on Saturday rather than Friday, and you just love getting the call right before you go out to do your Saturday, right before I go out to do my Saturday errands, I got the flowers. They are so lovely. Well, this year, I kind of really figured out very quickly what to do with my mother for Mother's Day. My mother's house was always painted pink. And even her great-grandchildren have called her Pink Grandma. And she loved the color pink, so trying to figure out what kind of variations of pink I wanted in a spray to be placed on her grave on today. So Mother's Day becomes different for me, but many of us do not know the history of Mother's Day. And a lot of people question whether Mother's Day, these kind of holidays, and would you spend more time feeding money into the commercial system and feeling that it somehow exploits our love for our mothers and actually celebrating them. It's not unlike any other holiday in America, Mother's Day, in that its complete commercialization has stripped away so much of the genuine meaning as well as its history. Mother's Day is unique in its completely radical and feminist history, and I'm going to tell you more about that. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'm going to... I just lost my studio. Really interesting how these things happen. I don't know how many of you are using Chrome. I got a little tired of the problems with IE, which I never used. I always use Blog. I always use Firefox. And Firefox got really stupid because of all of the settings, the special settings that you have to have for it. So when I bought a new computer about a year ago, 2 years ago, I decided to try IE, and it was the version 7, 7 or 6, no, 7 or 8. So then it's almost like it can't handle the cache. So I'm back in here, and when we come back, we're gonna do a lot of music tonight. When we come back, we'll talk some more about it. I'm Janice Graham, and you're listening to Our Common Ground. I'm gonna look in the chat room.
Just like the city that stagger on the coastline. In a nation that just can't stand much more, like the forest buried beneath the highway, never had a chance to grow, never had a chance to grow. And now it's winter. Winter in America. Yes, and all of the hills have been killed. Sent away. Yeah, but the people know it's winter. Winter in America.
TruthWorks Network, nightly call-in talk radio. It's the Black Voice Collaborative, right here on Blog Talk Radio.
I want to know why I'm fine 1 minute and the next my body aches so bad I can't move.
I want to know why my hair is falling out. I'm only 17.
I'm tired all the time. Now, this rash. I just want to know what's going on.
When you don't have the right answers, it may be time to ask your doctor the right question. Could I have lupus? For answers, for support, for hope, visit couldihavelupus.gov or call 1-800-994-9662. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health and the Ad Council.
Pop!
Power Views at TruthWorks Network.
The Black Voice Collaborative on talk radio, on the internet, and the black sphere.
The best of empowerment broadcasts from across the internet. Power Views. Rebroadcasting the power. Reloading the truth at TruthWorks Network. Each Tuesday night, 9 p.m., Power Views, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Real truth must be spoken more than once.
The lie and lie, the love are hanging on, we push and shove. Possession is the motivation that is hanging up the goddamn nation. Looks like we always end up in a rut. Everybody now trying to make it real compared to what. Come on, baby.
And always trying to make it real compared to what? Thank you for being with us here tonight at Our Common Ground. We've got a couple of things up on the board that we want to talk about. I want to get back to how we shine the light on the past so that we can transform the future. Because, you know, we really can't get rid of this cough. We really need to understand, you know, I think we're still living in a dream concept. People say if we could actually realize what Martin Luther King put forth in his I Have a Dream speech, then black people would finally see a new day, that America would be a much better place and it could play a much different and better role in the world, so our efforts should be focused on making that dream a reality. Well, Martin Luther King made many sacrifices, and indeed he made the ultimate sacrifices in seeking to bring about what he put forth in his I Have a Dream speech. But if you look at that speech, the outlook of Martin Luther King was precisely one of seeking to make America live up to its promise. And when that promise is always involved as one of its most essential elements, first the outright enslavement and then the continuing oppression of black people in other horrific forms. For many masses of black people, we have to come to the realization that King's dream can never be realized. Because masses of black people under this system, a system which is founded on and depending on subjugating black people and denying them equal equality. And the fact is that whatever King's intent, the realization of this dream could at most apply only to a small percentage. Excuse me, this radio station does not have a cough button. Now I'm sneezing. I'll get back to this. That dream can only be reserved for a small number of people, a percentage of black people in this country, and would in reality come at the expense of the masses of black people. And we can see some of the symptoms of that. Are you with me? You see it in the way that in the 1970s and 80s, as an upper black middle class was being developed, that same new class created a class system of its own. Moved to the suburbs, took the children out of public schools, decided that they wanted that equal meant an integration of both culture, an integration of the type and form of education and social interaction. Now, people might want to argue that point with me, but I'm not sure if in fact, and it raises a question of whether or not part of what is happening in this country is that we do not have a collective purpose, a collective mission. But let's imagine a state power in which the economic system provided jobs for everyone, able to work, enabling them to take part in providing the tremendous needs of society and supporting transformation around the world. Let's imagine a state power which fostered exchanges of experience and ideas among the masses. Let's keep imagining a state power which upholds and gives increasingly flowering expressions to cultural diversity in the media and the arts and the educational systems. We can imagine those things, a power that provides forms of self-government and autonomy for the formerly oppressed nationalities. We can imagine this, and let's do more than just imagine. Let's understand that such things have been done where communist revolutions have taken place and the formerly exploited proletariat has wielded state power. But that is not going to happen. In all this existence of revolutionary solid core and comes at everything as emancipation of humanity, it's not going to happen. A crucial part of carrying out that kind of transformation is grasping clearly the centrality of abolishing all forms of national oppression as a cornerstone of achieving a somewhat perfect world. And also crucial is that all those motivated by wanting to see an end to brutal and unending forms of oppression of black people and other oppressed people must increasingly grasp how this can only be achieved in the concept, in the context of emancipating all of humanity and moving human society to a whole new era. It's not going to happen in America. And the reason why it is not going to happen is because America is built on a capitalist form of governing. That's why it's not going to happen. So if we are unbending in our quest for King's dream, we're essentially beating our heads against the wall. We are essentially just beating our heads against the wall. And my mantra in 2012, especially going up to the November election, is that you cannot transform a system for which you participate in fully, for which you support through your participation. You got to go against the grain. But, you know, we do have to look at King's leadership, and it was, and his outlook was evidence in that leadership. King's program was straight up one of reform, directly and explicitly in opposition to revolution, when in fact only revolution could bring us to the dream that he spoke about. But we have to also keep in mind and reflect upon this in the context that King was cut down and it is yet another indictment of this system and its towering crimes. Every week I forget to turn off my sound to my other things going on my computer, and you can hear them. I apologize for that. So the trap that I want to talk about tonight as a false path, and I realize that Alpha and others, and I really, the reality is that Barack Obama is the devil that you know. If you are not aware, there was another drone hit in Pakistan on yesterday. But, you know, if you weren't with us last week, I always talked about my mother calling me and saying, well, the people say, and I have to say, what people are you talking about? I miss those calls. And it would be especially on Saturday morning, because she would go to the grocery store very early on Saturday mornings, like 8 o'clock, because, you know, Sunday dinner had to be cooked by 2 o'clock on Saturday. I don't know why I never picked up some of those things. I couldn't imagine. You know, we have mothers who were very disciplined. Poor people had to be disciplined, and they still do. My mother could not do the laundry except on Tuesday. She would say, oh, I want to do this, and I want to do that, and I want to do the other, but I got to go do the laundry. I got to do laundry. Well, and you would say, I would say, well, why don't you do the laundry tomorrow and go ahead and do what you want to do today? And she would say, no, I have to do the laundry today. My laundry day is Tuesday. Now, this is a woman who had no job, who had no children in the house, no people to feed, but laundry day had to be on Tuesday. And it was a form of discipline that many of us need to get back to. But she would call and say, people say. So tonight I'm going to say, people say. What about all the progress represented by Barack Obama becoming not only a viable candidate for president, but being elected as president? And isn't electing black leaders a way to work at overcoming racial oppression? First off, let's talk about who President Obama is seeking to lead. I think that's a very valid question. He has said that he is down with a vicious shark of a system that survives and can only survive by sending armies around the world to enforce its global exploitation. He did oppose the war against Iraq to a degree that he opposed it only because he did not believe it would work and because it was wrong. Obama's whole program, as presented both in his candidacy and in the 4 years that he has been in the White House, is to pull together as one America and to prepare for sacrifice. It is not in the struggle against oppression, but to preserve the domination of the U.S. around the world. Now, you might not want to believe this, but look at Obama's speeches. And listen to what he actually says and think about what he does as chief executive of this bloody empire. This is why he specifically argues against taking on the specific ways in which black people are oppressed. He understands and argues, understanding the reactionary racist opposition of some white people to affirmative action, civil rights, and indeed to his own presidency. I sometimes have to wonder, when he puts his head on the pillow, what are the last thoughts each day for this president? Is it about the latest drone attack and what the American military calls collateral damage? Is it about who he has on his staff? And is it about whether or not Joe Biden was the right person? Is it about gay marriage? What is it about? And we have open mics tonight. Our number is 347-838-9852. We are going to take a break and like to talk to you. What do you think the president of the first African American president of the United States thinks about as he drifts off to sleep? Now, there are some of us who would say he thinks about the lovely woman who lies next to him. But this man has got, I wouldn't want to be the president of the United States for love, money, or to run the bloody empire. It just wouldn't be something that I would be interested in doing. Let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll take your calls at 347-838-9852 as we, on our common ground, ponder the country we live in. Bye.
Hey, India, it's Janice. Us talk chicks got to stick together. You and your real raw right now, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., Monday through Friday, and me and my brave black and bold Saturdays, 10 p.m. There's no doubt, us talk chicks, we know where the real talk is, and we know what to do on their radio. You.
It's a cold and crazy world that's raging outside. But baby, me and all my girls are bringing on the fire. Show a little leg, gotta send me your chest.
Our Common Ground, speaking truth to power. And I'm Janice Grant.
Brave and Black, Saturdays, 10 p.m. India Declare, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Monday through Friday, Blog Talk Radio, I Declare Media. Common Ground.
Thank you for being with us here at Our Common Ground. I'm Janice Graham, inviting you to join us also at TruthWorks on Tuesday night, A Heart for My People with Dr. Deborah Napier.
All we say to America is be true to what you said on paper. Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest far right.
Tonight, Our Common Ground remembers and recalls. You're listening to Our Common Ground, Bold and Black Broadcasting at Frog Talk Radio. I'm Janice Graham, speaking truth to power and ourselves. Thank you for being with us tonight.
One day, hey, there's a great big elephant down the way, going around talking, I'm sorry to say, about your mama in a scandalous way. Yeah, he's talking about your mama and your grandma too. And he don't show too much respect to you. Now, you weren't chair, and I still am glad, cause what he said about your mama made me mad.
Signifying monkey, stay up in your tree. You are always lying and signifying, but you better not monkey with me.
And thank you so much for being with us here at Our Common Ground. We've got a couple of announcements, programming announcements to bring to you. The Alpha Show, which you have enjoyed for many years, just damn common sense political pushback talk radio with Alpha right out of Chicago, is moving from Saturday to Friday nights at 10 p.m. Your Friday night just got better. It just got to be more fun. It just got to be more informative. Friday nights at 10 p.m. Enter the Lion's Den. Moving to Wednesdays and Thursdays at 10 p.m. We're making it a packed week for Talk That Matters. And we certainly encourage you to write it down, check it out on our Facebook page and our Ning page. You can get all that information at truthworks.ning.com. And we also encourage you to join India Declare on iDeclare every Monday through Friday morning at 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. That's where we get together, and she kicks it around. She keeps kicking that can right on up the hill. So if you want Talk That Matters, this is where you get it. Before we went to break, we were talking about these traps, and and I was trying to examine the Obama administration relative to how he has focused his pull America together. To a significant degree, all this gets concentrated in Obama's tremendous professions of respect for the service of others. And even to the point where we saw this in his campaign, his respect for his continuing articulation of respect for John McCain was sickening to me, because I believe that John McCain is nothing but a war criminal who was part of a murderous campaign of bombing which targeted hospitals, schools, dams, and other vital civilian structures in Vietnam. And then there was, you know, another evidence of his, what he might call it statesmanship, and I call it political bullshit. His refusal to say anything negative during the campaign about Sarah Palin, who's really a Nazi nutcase who upholds young Earth creation in opposition to scientific fact of creation, in opposition to the scientific fact of evolution and science. And we can go on and on, you know, Obama's candidacy and his presidency, his Father's Day speech, the year rehashing the same poisonous routine that Bill Cosby, blaming black people for their oppressed situation. And there are a lot of reasons that the Obama phenomenon can be extremely negative. But what have we done as a country? This is, you know, this is the trap where we have to choose the devil we know against the devil we know. And I, for one, and I'll keep saying it, and I'll keep saying it, I don't want to wake up one morning and Mitt Romney is the president of the United States. See, he couldn't do a lot of harm as the governor of Massachusetts, but he can do a great deal of harm having discovered the magic bullet of political success by aligning himself with the right-wing nutcase fundamentalist in this country and the teabaggers. Our number is 347-838-9852, and we're going to go to our phones. This is Our Common Ground. Good evening. You're on the air. I respect you.
I respect you too, Goddess Janice Graham. How are you?
India Declare. I'm glad to see and be with you on this Saturday night. How's that vanilla paint holding up?
Oh, girl, we got the one side of the home done. We got the side over there done. Now we're coming on in.
Ladies and gentlemen, a rare call from, as they say, the queen of daytime blog talk, Miss India Declare.
You are so precious.
I'm glad you called.
Well, you know, you almost made me drop my expensive champagne, $10 a bottle, when you used the phraseology, Mitt Romney, President of the United States. I cannot even absorb that phraseology in a futuristic context. That really traumatizes me, that phraseology, his name and the privilege seat of the presidency of the United States of America. So I realize it is a possibility, because of course the opposition's fear is so great that they literally have changed the laws to suppress millions of voters across the country. So I understand the fear. We all know the evidence of the fear are the voter suppression efforts, but it is just literally barf-inducing to think of him as president of the United States. But I'm enjoying your show, and I just wanted to just say a global Happy Moms Day to our moms in Afghanistan, to our moms serving all over this country, all over this world, wherever you guys are. I know you're listening to Miss Janice Graham because she keeps you sane like she keeps me. So I know you're listening, even if you can't call and you're not in the chat room. I just wanted to say a loving, happy Mom's Day to all of us. We are so powerful, and we're so busy. And if we could just somehow connect to our collective selves and power, I just really believe in that energy. And I believe that that energy has the power to shift momentum. So I just want to just touch all of us out there, wherever we are, whatever you're doing. I know, y'all.
Well, I'm glad you do, and I certainly join you, India, in wishing mothers across the globe a very happy and enriched Mother's Day celebration. But many people don't know that Mother's Day began in 1870, and it began when Julia Ward Howe, mm-hmm, wrote the Mother's Day Proclamation in response to the American Civil War and the Franco-Prussian War. Mm-hmm. And her proclamation called on women to use their position as mothers to influence society in fighting for an end to all wars.
Thank you.
She called for women to stand up against the unjust violence of war, mm-hmm, through their roles as wife and mother, to protest the futility, mm-hmm, of their sons killing other mothers' sons. And
thank
the fact that you talked about mothers who are in the military, who,
yes,
are in our war zones, is,
mm-hmm,
an incredible thing to think about. A mother,
mm-hmm,
who takes the life of another.
Mm. That's why I love you, baby. That's why I love you, because you throw deep. And this is what we need to be thinking about. This is the tapestry of our complexity. And we need,
mm-hmm,
to be going beyond the corporation printed cards and the farmed roses and the cheap candies, and think about what you are putting before us.
Yeah.
This is the context in which Mother's Day, in my opinion, should be appreciated. And maybe we can go beyond the commercializing of it and really connect to and with the power that we have. And why are mothers killing the children of other mothers? Why are we using this precious and sacred energy in that manner? Why are we doing a lot of stuff that we're doing?
Mm-hmm.
I think that your vessel and these vessels of internet medium have an opportunity to throw deep and really connect on a level that we can't even begin to expect commercial,
mm-hmm,
media to. I mean,
mm-hmm,
it's just,
you know,
like, forget it.
What Julia Ward Howe wrote in her proclamation, and I want to quote it,
mm-hmm,
she said, "Arise, women of this day, arise, all women who have hearts, whether our baptism be of water or of tears, say, mm-hmm, firmly, we will not have great questions decided by irrelevant agencies. Our husbands will not come to us reeking with carnage for caresses and applause. Our sons shall not be taken from us to unlearn all that we have been able to teach them of charity, mercy, and patience. We, the women of one country, will be too tender of those of another country to allow our sons to be trained to injure theirs. And then she goes on to say, in the name of womanhood and humanity, I earnestly ask that a General Congress of women without limit of nationality may be appointed to promote the alliance of the different nationalities, the amicable settlement of international questions, the great and general interests of peace. Now, that's radical feminism.
Thank you.
And coming out of 1840.
Thank you. And it is so relevant. It is relevant in its minutia today, this very moment, all across this planet. It is so relevant. And if somehow, some way, we can tap into just a scintilla of what she is clearly teaching us, look at the power that we could amass.
Yep. You know, I listened to Alpha's show this afternoon where...
I missed Alpha. I'm so glad Alpha's coming to Friday night. I missed Alpha, and I hate that I missed Alpha's show. So I am so glad Alpha is swinging it on Friday night. That's such a better time.
We think it's a good move for
hot.
The network.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's going to be sizzling.
You know, if you look at Trayvon's mother's PSA, which started running yesterday,
mm-hmm.
about gun control in this country, it really resonates into the original point of Mother's Day.
Yes.
And we need to take Mother's Day to excuse ourselves from the overreaching commercialization and instead remember and share these radical roots that mothers, or rather all women, in fact, all people, have a stake in war and a responsibility as American citizens to protest the extraordinary violence that so many fellow citizens here and abroad experience as a result. And that goes to, there should have been a march against the NRA tomorrow. There should have been a march against our continuing presence in Afghanistan that is wreaking harm, a march against these drone attacks that President Obama is signing off on. There were 36 people killed in Pakistan yesterday. And really, you know.
Yes, you're right.
Go back.
You're right.
To,
I mean, globally, mothers globally standing against this male madness. Because that's what
exactly.
this is. This is
exactly.
male madness. Who's got the biggest, you know what, who's got the biggest package?
That's right.
That's exactly what this is. And our children are being sacrificed in the name of this male edit madness. I mean, I'm having literally, like, you know, I'm having to hold back. I'm having to hold it back.
You don't have to hold it back at our common ground.
I mean,
this is where we come to discharge it.
I know. Reload, honey.
Yeah, that's right.
Honey, this bullshit is just, I mean, little, if we don't, we cannot look to the males to stop it. They're not going to stop it. This is for women to do. And I know we're distracted. I know we are luxuriated. We're caught up in our own madness. We don't want to deal with it. But these males, they're not going to stop it. They want to pimp us out and have us fighting with each other too. Oh, I don't like them over there. I don't like them over there. No, all of us need to come together. I don't care where we are on planet Earth and say enough of this madness, because these males, they will not stop it. They will never stop this shit. We have to do it. I don't see another alternative.
Well, you know, it is that, and it's seeped in the capitalist system.
Yes.
War is about profit.
Baby,
it is not about a principle.
War, this is keeping only, the Wall Street machine well oiled with the blood of our children.
The only war in which we have been engaged that is not about profit, and I mean profit in terms of taking land, taking resources like minerals and oil and gold, is the war waged against Iraq by George Bush, because that was a war of vengeance.
That's so ridiculous.
That is the only war based on some principle.
And to think the thousands of children, thousands of our babies are gone over that.
That's right.
And see, that's the male madness just on steroids. And remember, you were speaking about the Senator McCain. What comes to my mind? Remember when he mouthed that he was kind of humming, bomb, 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 Iran. Remember that?
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
That was so callous, and the ease at which it just rolled off his tongue. You know, he was just so easy with it, just so comfortable with it. It's like, are you what? Look.
War.
You know. Thank you. And I mean, this is some people say this is radical, but this is male originated and male rooted. And as long as we keep doing what we're doing, we're going to keep getting what we're getting. I subscribe that women globally are going to have to wake up and exercise our power.
That's right. You know, one of the other things, and I had planned on talking about how the notion of Mother's Day originally was so radical. Julia Howe wrote in her original proclamation in 1840, this is what she wrote: "From the bosom of the devastated earth, a voice goes up with our own. It says, disarm, disarm. The sword of murder is not the balance of justice. Blood does not wipe out dishonor, nor violence indicate possession."
Thank you.
Now,
I mean,
this woman goes on my list of radical women.
Yes, and so elegantly so, just elegant in her radicalism.
Absolutely.
I love her. And what she's saying what she's saying is a call to us.
That's right.
I mean, she is literally called, because she's saying, look, y'all, these men, they're not gonna just give this up. I mean, we are going to have to step up and do something, pull back our spending, pull back the pussy. I don't know what we're gonna have to do. But we're gonna have to do something and make it an attention getter. I mean, we're gonna have to do something. I mean, it's either what is it? It's either money or snatch. That's the only thing. What else do they respond to? Well, food. I mean, but that's it. So we have to. That is where our power is in our spending. Just think if women stopped spending just for one day all over the world. Just one day. I think that would make a significant mark financially.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see it. Just one day globally, no spending. Well, if you keep on with those wars, nothing. I mean, what are we going to do? We have to do something, and we have to be that radical as the writings that you are reading from. I don't see any other solution.
Yeah, and we've got to translate it to some other things. I mean, and I want to ask you about this. I know that you listened live to my interview with Marissa Alexander, and I was quite honored that Marissa requested me to do the interview.
Yes, I was honored just to listen.
He was a mother of a 9-day-old who the police, when they arrested her, gave no consideration that this was a woman who had just given birth 9 days earlier.
Yes.
None. I mean, all of us know that there are postpartum, can be severe postpartum trauma.
Absolutely.
And depression after giving birth. But no one ever questioned whether or not, because see, she was a black woman. She was supposed
uh-huh.
to have her babies on the side of the road and keep it moving. So, I mean, we've got to be able to transpose what we know, what we have decided into every arena in which there is some question about where we are.
I agree.
You can't.
And how do we do that? How do we... What you are speaking of is so significant and would be such a ringing of the global bell. How do we do that?
Well, I think, India, that we have to, as I've been saying in the last 2 weeks on this show, we have to be real clear about false paths and dead ends. We cannot buy into a system that continues to oppress us. We've got to look at the challenge and meet it head on, understanding some very harsh realities. You can't say that, you can't on one hand say that capitalism oppresses us, creates the false paths and the dead ends. You can't say that you understand what the problem is and the genesis of the problem, and then embrace the very notion, the very characteristics of a system that is the problem.
Absolutely. And that is literally what you are speaking to, is literally saying that because we are conditioned to do exactly that, as you just spoke. We are conditioned to accept the very system that enslaves us and suppresses us. So what you are saying is that we literally have to unlearn the conditioning and put in its place the alternative.
We've got to reject what oppresses us.
Right.
And for some, that's going to be hard. If you go to the doctor with a painful condition, she'll ask you to describe the symptoms. And if she's any good, she won't just prescribe a few pills and send you on your way. She'll try to figure out the cause of your problem, where it come from. She'll order tests. She'll do other diagnostics. And she'll ask you when the symptoms arose. She'll take your family history. She'll ask about your parents, even your grandparents. And that's what we are having to do, what we need to do. We need to go through history of America to discover the source of the profound problems that we sketch out day after day after day after day. We keep talking about what the problems are.
Now, taking exactly, because I agree with what you just said. In taking what you just said, you know, that's like how you have a wound and you have to clean the wound, and when you clean the wound, it hurts. It hurts to clean the wound. I mean, that's how you're going to get well. But in order to get well, you're going to go through some excruciating pain. Are we I guess, are we strong enough? Is that the right question? Can we endure the deciphering and the wound cleansing in order to get to the other side?
You know, it's like my doctor said, I've gained 30 pounds. For however long it took me to gain the 30 pounds, that's how long it's going to take to lose it. And you and I won't see it in our lifetimes. But I think what we do see, we see the symptoms of the system falling apart.
Right. Right.
We see the symptoms.
Right. That's undeniable. I completely agree with you. Right.
I think
it's coming
to
a head. It's like a zit.
Yep.
It's like a zit. Yep. It's coming to a head. You know, it's like underneath the skin, you know, the zit. And you can't see the zit, but when you put your finger on your flesh, you can feel the zit underneath. And that sucker's huge. It's like it's coming to a head. I agree with you. I don't know when it's going to happen, but it's going to. That zit is going to come to the surface.
I mean, if you think about it, that it took 8 years, 15 years from Ronald Reagan to George Bush to bring us to another depression. And as I've listened to Krugman and Sandy Darity and Robert Reich on all of the economic indicators, it seems to me that recessionary trauma is much more complex than depression trauma. You know, Krugman is now suggesting that we put back into place that we can cure ourselves, our economy, by putting back into place public servants that were laid off at the state and federal level.
His new book, In the Depression Now, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw that. Right. Yeah, he's calling for radical action in that arena.
But I don't think that's radical enough. I think,
I don't either.
Sandy Darity, who's at Stanford now, but on sabbatical doing research, but he's at Duke University.
Uh-huh.
Sandy Darity has been talking about for more than 5 years the notion of complete. A guaranteed income for everyone who is unemployed. So, you know, but the thing is that to justify a capitalist system, you have people like Mitt Romney and his ilk, that other fool that was running for president, that used to be the speaker, who are saying that what you do is you build up big businesses. Well, I guess they are saying that. When are people going to understand that it's undeniable that these people are feeding themselves? They are recommending putting forth programs that benefit them and does not benefit us. It's just unbelievable that people cannot see the destruction that was done in this trickle-down economic scheme and how it has affected our country and our economy and totally failed and brought us to this depression. And they still see a guy like Mitt Romney as an option. India, I do want to ask you before you leave me. I know you. 11 o'clock is about as far as you go on the nighttime thing.
I know, girl.
I do want to ask you to give us your impressions of the interview we did with Marissa Alexander on yesterday.
Yes, I was so, as I said earlier, I was so literally honored to be able to listen to Ms. Alexander in her own words, on her own time, speak the truth of what happened. And it is utterly, it is as I typed in your chat room while the interview was ongoing, I believe, it is so insulting at the core level. It is so violating to think of this woman behind bars who was simply doing the best she could to protect herself with her registered weapon, and not even hurting him, not even hitting him or injuring him or shooting him. And to think of this lady, this beautiful African-American mother behind bars is such a horrendous travesty of justice. I was so honored by her calm, by her compassion for her family, by her faith. When you two were speaking about the baby, that was so tender for her. You could literally feel Ms. Alexander's agony about her child, and how
going back
and
to,
how apparently
going back
that
to,
child is not with, you know, her other children.
Well, actually, the child was the father had took custody of the child when she went to jail last February, and he has not allowed any member of her family.
Yes.
The people that this child knew for the first year of her life to have any access to her at all. And, you know, India, I really do fear that nothing is going to happen with Marissa in terms of a challenge to this sentencing, because Angela Corey just simply dug her heels in because she was angry because Marissa, she became bitter because Marissa didn't take the plea deal of 3 years. So I think nothing will happen unless someone is able to convince, there is some intervention for this man to recant his testimony.
It is just yet another reason why mothers around this globe should be tomorrow should be standing on behalf of Ms. Alexander and the many other injustices that are taking place. But that was when the tears started flowing for me, when I was sitting in front of my computer listening to you so compassionately and so beautifully and gently interview Ms. Alexander. And that was when I lost it. I was just so honored by Ms. Alexander's elegance and her calm and her compassion for her family. She said, "I'm not worried about myself as much as I am about my family." The whole thing is just, it's unfathomable. It's insane. And for Ms. Alexander to be caught up in the trappings of bureaucracy and judicial ego, it is ill. It is literally stomach-churning ill. And as a woman, I don't care what color you are out there, as a woman, how can you not put yourself in her position thank God I've never had to be, but as she explained it, we know millions of women have to face this on a daily basis.
That's right.
And then to not, and then to be violated by the system again, it's just like, God damn, I mean, you know,
yeah.
At what point do you get justice around here? I mean, it's just, it was, it's like you need the Heavenly Father to keep you cool because you could really lose it. If you,
yep.
That is insane what happened to that dear woman.
You know, my grandson, Miles, was trying to call into the show yesterday. And I don't know what was going on with this studio, but I didn't see his call. So I had a conversation with him last night about why he felt, he said, I really wanted to talk. I really wanted to talk.
Bless
well,
his
heart. I asked him, I invited him to call in tonight. But he said, I wanted to call in and just to say to the lady that I promise I will never grow up to hurt my family.
Well, thank you. Hello. Miles gets it. Thank you.
Even children get it. And,
thank
and
you.
And he said, and I wanted to call
thank you.
And tell, and so her daughter, so I could tell her daughter how proud I was of her.
Oh, Jesus, that's going to make me cry. Because, see, if we can learn anything from this, all of this is because some male got angry and has poor coping mechanisms and took his anger out on Ms. Alexander, which caused Ms. Alexander to, you know, have to defend herself in the best way that she knew how. If the males can deal with that anger on their end with proper coping mechanisms, as your baby is clearly indicating that this is teaching him to be so aware of that. And if anything can come from this, it's what you just articulated that baby said.
Right, right. And he and I talked about, you know, when he was little, he used to have, like, when he'd get mad, he'd just have this, like, temper tantrum. And we have worked on it and worked on it, and he has gotten away from that. He has much more impulse control. And I talked to him about impulse, that when you have a problem and you don't learn to use your words, you don't learn to use the resources around you, you end up being a man who thinks that the way in which you stand up for yourself is about hurting other people. So I'm not hopeful about it, but I think that the only way is that this man is going to get some kind of, as Nancy or someone, who, one of the callers said, if he gets into, the court should have ordered him into a batterer's program.
Thank you. That's where some correction apparently needs to be applied. She was just defending. She was standing her ground because, like, I mean, if the law is what it says it is, then that's all she was doing. I mean, he's the energy that came at her. He's the aggressive energy. She was the defending energy. He's the one that needs to be corrected. That to me is so common sense. And how this is not dealt with, is that's what's so painful about this. This is really, this is not rocket science. This is about like 2+2 on this. How this got screwed up. Now come on, I mean, now look, one can either point to racial prejudice or the bureaucratic judicial egos, and Ms. Alexander got caught up in the swirl of both. I mean, because
you're
this
right.
is clearly this is not rocket science. The dude was the damn problem. She was defending herself. Any woman can understand that situation. I know I certainly can.
Yep.
Of course. 9 days after having a baby. You know, your whole body is aching and you're hurting and you're tender. Come on, man.
You know,
I'm
wondering why, and I've talked to the people at Families Against Mandatory Sentencing about it, and I've talked to Lincoln Alexander about it. But one of the things I'm wondering why, there is a huge protest of impeaching Angela Corey on this, because she clearly had a political agenda. The state of Florida does not want women to be able to utilize the Stand Your Ground law to defend themselves, because it would cause a huge problem. I understand it would cause a huge bureaucratic problem if battered women started using Stand Your Ground. And I don't know if anyone has done the research, but if you read the motion that was entered into, that was submitted to the court, you see how he clearly lied on the stand. He has a history of battering. There's evidence. There is every evidence that this woman had every reason to fear for her life.
Thank you. I mean, it's like the system is violating her on top of the violation that he obviously came at her with. And you know what?
Well,
when it comes to, you know, when it comes to the battering, the battered women and Stand Your Ground, I'm gonna have to do the Dick Cheney show on that. Then look, you know, then don't batter. You know, I mean, I'm like, so? Then I mean, if the law is the law, then the law should not be double standard in its application. I mean, then, you know,
well,
then these men need to,
where
these men need to think twice, you know, before they come at somebody twisted.
Yep. As a matter of fact, last night I had to unfollow one of our black women scholars because she was buying this nonsense. And I said, well, that's the end of it. I don't want to hear
this, I mean, this is like, you know what, if women cannot say, and now let me run this past you, because I so appreciate your mind, Ms. Janice Graham. I you know, every chance I get a chance to listen to you, I do, and I learn every time I do. I mean that, baby. You are literally, you're a very, very special human being. And I wanted to say that if women cannot stand together with this, look, we look at women being beaten up. It's called primetime entertainment between 7 and 11 on every television network and cable. We are conditioned to accept this. Now there's this Stand Your Ground, but oh boy, they don't want to use it with the battered women. Because, well, I mean, the entire society conditions us to accept being beat the hell out of. Cartoons, music, I mean, you can't get away from it. It's like, you know, we're just supposed to be treated like smut and smile. And it's like, now the law is doing that too. I mean, it's not new,
but it's failing to protect.
A blazing example of judicial failure here. We should be, no pun intended, but we should be up in arms about this. And men should think twice before they come sideways at a woman. So,
but you see, you're living in an age where the capitalist and the corporatists, Alex,
come on now,
and the Koch brothers, are all governing what is to happen. And the people who are part of the people who are not part of that system, they get dismissed.
Exactly.
Women have
and
been
that's
dismissed.
Exactly. Right.
And that's why I want to know where the progressive women are.
Thank you.
Why they are not organizing in a way that they organize for Sandra Fluke, for instance,
uh-huh.
against
uh-huh.
a maniac who just talks out of his ass.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
That's what
you're
I'm
right.
I mean,
you're
I've
exactly
been all
right.
over the internet and saying to the women who wrote and blogged about Sandra Fluke and Rush
mm-hmm.
Limbaugh, where are you now in
mm-hmm.
writing and blogging about Marissa Alexander? Because if you look at the motion, if you look at the trial transcript, if you look
mm-hmm.
at the letter, even the letter that Angela Corey was sending out in response to people who were writing to her or calling her about this issue,
mm-hmm.
you understand that these folks didn't care about a black woman where the whole judicial and law enforcement system
mm-hmm.
set her up not to be protected under the law.
Right. I mean, there is an undeniable energy of dismissal involved in this. It is undeniable, and as an African-American woman, I'm enraged about it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to find another word, but I'm enraged about it. I will channel that rage into action. But make no mistake, I'm enraged, and that's why, like, these corporations that are members of ALEC, the toilet paper, the paper towel, the soda pop, the pudding, the toothpaste, the soap. I mean, we have to dig down. It goes right back to what you were saying earlier, in that the system in which we live and are so caught up in our creatures of habit and all of that stuff. These very corporations, many of them are members of this organization that works to suppress us and treat us as Mrs. Alexander.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
as though,
it's
as
like we're
though,
paying for them to F us.
Mm-hmm. As though they are going to care. You see, the thing is, it's a machine, a distraction machine that's going on to keep us worried about what Bristol Palin has to say about Obama.
Mm-hmm. Or what the latest, what the flavor of the year wore at the latest fashion ball gala.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm not dismissing the importance of sports in American life, but the whole nonsense, but the whole idea is that there have been boxes set up for us to go into so that we can't see the real deal, and we can't see that there is an inherent embedded trap for all of us.
Baby, it's undeniable. Now,
the false paths
now,
and the dead ends. That's what we're getting ourselves involved in.
Absolutely. It is undeniable, and all I can say is as difficult as some of this programming is, because it is what I like to call real world right now, this is difficult stuff. This is what we've been sitting here talking about. Like we're at the Pancake House is very difficult stuff, but this is where we are, and we can either willingly continue to be distracted and distorted, or we can get on board with the bold and the black and the real world right
now. And the brave.
And the brave, and do what the hell we have to do. And
That's right. And
that is, of like the man said, M. Scott Peck, that is the road less traveled. So, you know, I mean, we can either cha 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 on the road of distraction and distortion, knowing good and damn well that those very people that are distracting and distorting you have a trap for you at the end of that little you know, dance line, or you can get on the road less traveled and try to figure out how to at least bring some quality to your life so you are not in the trap, at the very least, so you don't get
that's
caught
right.
in the trap. So
that's
why
right.
I love your work. I love your mind. I honor your passion. And as I said in the chat room, I can hear the exhausting passion in your voice. And I am so inspired by you. I just happy Mom's Day. Get you a few minutes rest. But just keep doing what you're doing because we need you, we love you, and we are inspired and informed and galvanized to act by your work. And congratulations.
Well, thank you
to
so much,
team.
India. And
you know
happy
I love
Mother's
you,
Day.
You know
to
I love you.
Well, thank
absolutely.
You very much, and that love comes back.
Thank you
Ms.
so very
India
much, Ms. Janice.
Of I Declare. You can catch her every Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and that ought to be your daily talk destination. And I've been talking with India about the notion of how women, mothers, can lead the way in bringing some semblance of the notion of peace and justice in this country. As Julia Ward Ho wrote in her Mother's Day proclamation in 1870, the sword of murder is not the balance of justice. Blood does not wipe out dishonor, nor violence indicate possession. You're listening to Our Common Ground, and we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about oppression of black people in America under law and look at some of the headlines of the week. Our number is 347-838-9852. Thank you so much, India Declare, for declaring your real raw and right now. I'm Janice Graham. We'll be right back.
About who they have on. They have twice as many conservatives on spewing bovine excrement than they do liberals with their chicken excrement. So at some point in time, you have to step back and you have to say, where are the jobs? What job bills have they introduced? The only thing Republicans have introduced is spending cuts that will cost 700,000 jobs. They are clearly trying to shut down our economic growth and our recovery. You've got governors all over the country turning down jobs for speed rail. Now,
yes.
Regardless of how you feel about the speed rail, you mean the French can do it, Japan can do it, the Chinese can do it, Europe, they can do it over there, but we can't do it here? You know, where is this exceptionalism coming from when we are so mired in ignorance? And mired in just
just total obstruction.
Listening to the best of Pushback Politics, the Alpha Show.
Because our society is only as strong as all its individuals, the United Negro College Fund has helped educate thousands of doctors and researchers, but we need more. Thousands of architects and engineers, but we need more. Thousands of teachers and biologists, but we need more. And when disease, injustice, pollution, poverty, and countless other problems threaten to pull us apart, we had better educate every single person who has the potential to solve our problems. And to educate more people, we need more of your help. Give to the United Negro College Fund. With so much at stake, a mind is a terrible thing to waste.
Into Our Common Ground. Thank you for being with us tonight. I'm Janice Graham, and I'm listening for you at 347-838-9852.
Woke up this morning after another one of those crazy dreams. This morning, the whole world is wrong, it seems. Oh, I guess it's the chains that bind me. I can't shake or lose these chains and things. Got to go to work this morning. Seems like everything is lost. I got a cold-hearted, wrong-doing woman and a slave-driving boss.
And that's Riley King. He's got a cold-hearted woman and a slave-driving boss. You're listening to Our Common Ground at 347-838-9852, where we do the conversation, Black, Brave, and Bold. We're going to go to our phones. 865, you're on the air. I respect you. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Well, I do have to ask you one question. As far as your advertisement was concerned, in regards to the College Negro Fund, why is that okay and not having a white college fund? Or an Irish college fund or a pink purple elephant college fund. To me, that you preach one thing, but then you're advertising something that is directly against what you're trying to preach. And I have a problem with that.
Well, you know, this is not the white people's problem line. Thank you for your call. 773, you're on the air.
Good evening. Good evening, Janice. How are you this evening?
Now, you know tonight I'm not having it. Alpha. I want to remind people that the Alpha show is moving to Friday nights at 10 p.m. on Truthworks Network.
Well,
I anticipate
those types of calls. And the only thing I would say
Well, I knew when I heard the Valley Doll kind of
voice. Yeah,
I thought it was the lady. I thought it was the lady that you remember, the lady that was in the Miss America contest, and she was saying, and the wherefore and the John Cain and the, you remember that? You remember that?
Yeah, well, she had a problem disguising her, what her true intents were. But, you know, Janice, you have to look at, and when you hear those types of people call in, they need to read the book When Affirmative Action Was White, when you had hundreds and hundreds of years of entitlement and simple affirmative action for white folks. There's a book out, and it's called When Affirmative Action
Was... I mean, what a silly question to ask. Why can't white people have a college fund?
They've had a college
fund. But the Negro College Fund is white college fund. And there are many, many Irish organizations, Italian organizations that have college funds for the children that live in their community or part of their community. I don't know what you're talking about. That's why I hung up on her, because we can't have silliness here. We don't have time for silliness. We got 2 hours a week.
To me, that's just the, you know, just the, I would call willful ignorance. But, you know, getting to the reason I called, you have what you are seeing and what we are witnessing is a very well-laid plan. They've got the judges. They've put them in place. They've got the prosecutors. They're all in place. They've got the police officers. Now, you go from one end of this country to the other, and that's what you see. More than 80% of our law enforcement are ex-military, and that there's a reason behind that. Some level of discipline and some level of indoctrination has occurred there, and there is a great deal. There is a great deal of, I would call it, people who simply don't get it. When I say people who simply don't get it, I mean people who are willing to dismiss and ignore facts and the truth. A Negro College Fund has absolutely nothing to do with the message that you're sending out. It's not like you were biased to a Negro College Fund. That's what makes that question so speciously ignorant. Because once you get into that, wade into that water, you are simply denying the history of this country. This country was founded and built on the backs of slaves. And as your documentary, that young lady needs to see or listen to the documentary, Slavery by Another Name. But I don't suspect that is even close to being why she called or who she is. She's not interested in facts. All she's interested in is bovine. And her comments basically run into that ground. But what we are seeing here, Janice, we have a plan. Like, you know, Republicans don't go home. When they lost the 2008 election, they went straight to plotting against the president. And that was pointed out by Robert Draper. That they don't, the meeting with Newt Gingrich and Luntz and the 15 Republican congressmen and senators to plot how to shut down this president's agenda. They didn't care about the country. They campaigned on country first, and they went straight into seize power first and protect the rich first. And this is what we people seem to not get. With people losing their jobs to the tune of 750,000 as this man came into office, and with people losing their homes from the deregulation of both financial and the home industry, that was what they are doing. And look at this Jamie Dimon. He represents why we need more banking reform. They just lost $2 billion, and he calls it stupid, reckless. Well, that's exactly what it is. But they're gambling with taxpayer dollars. They're not gambling with their money. They're speculating and making bets. And the American people are going to be on the hook. This $2 billion that they just lost, they'll lose more. Because when you get down to the bottom line, they have nothing else to campaign on or talk on but lies. And that's what you find. And that's what you find in most of the people who come in with that type of ignorance. And that's what we have to really pay attention to.
Well, you know, Alpha, there are people who, on one hand, they say we ought to pull ourselves up by the bootstraps, and on the other hand, they reject the notion of self-determination. But then there are people, and I'm just projecting that caller has no idea of either of those concepts. Just, you know, talking points that she's picked up on Fox or Rush Limbaugh or whoever, wherever. But if you do not know and understand the issues of race in this country and you are not studying them and trying to get some understanding, then, you know, you simply need to STFU. And that's what I invite people like that to say. But you're absolutely right. This is a system that has to be totally dismissed and dismantled in order for it to work. And if it's and that's not going to happen. So we have to look at the alternatives. And the alternatives are that we have got to foster exchange within. And not think that the state powers are ever going to really change. I mean, there are some people who are definitely thinking about getting the hell out. Well, I'm not getting the hell out because history tells me that everything that is here has been by the blood, sweat, and tears of my people.
Well, they seem to not be able to come to an agreement. And they are simply willfully not coming to that agreement because what they represent is just the ugly side of the history of this country.
Mm-hmm. And I don't allow my insight into the challenges to be demoralized by ignorance. And that's what we've got to be saying. You know, we're fighting against a machine, as you say, that is firmly entrenched, has a plan, and is implementing its plan.
Well, Dennis, when you can document that they met, and when you can see what they've done, and how their hostage taking of this country 4 different times has been paid a ransom of budget cuts that has cost this country over 600,000 public sector jobs. This mere idea that public sector jobs are not real jobs. And if any economist can tell you, government is always the spender of last resorts. And it's just ignorance. When you've got red states that take more federal tax dollars than they put in, when you've got the right to work states with the highest number of, I would call them less educated, they have the lowest, they make $5,300+ less per year than union states. They have the highest rate of teen pregnancy. They have the highest rate of uninsured in their state. States like Mississippi, Alabama, South Carolina, all of these states, and, you know, just they're just stubborn. And it's just deep-seated in a level of racism and hatred that they only need a small reason to hate, and that's exactly what they do. Dennis, I know you're coming up on the end and you want to close this out. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Alpha, but let me ask you a question. We expect you to be going into your Friday night show? Is it going to be fireworks still?
I'm thinking about Friday nights. And like I said, I think I'm going to have to hold that program hostage. I've yet to be able to talk to Stephen. And if the Republicans can hold a country hostage as people are out of work and out of their homes and the whole, I think I can kind of hold the network hostage.
I hear you. Thank you, Alpha. Alpha of the Alpha Show can be heard on Truthworks Network, 10 p.m. Friday nights. And don't forget. Thank you all for being with us once again here tonight at Our Common Ground. It's been a tough week. The debate on gay marriage has really revealed the notion of people understanding what the principles of the of basic human rights is all about. There's some cowardly kind of discussion going on out there, and we recommend that for your Sundays you check out the Melissa Harris Perry Show at MSNBC. It airs at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We want to say to all of the mothers out there that we wish you a joyous and an enriched day tomorrow as we think about the words of the founder of Mother's Day from 1870. In the name of womanhood and humanity, I earnestly ask that a General Congress of Women without limit of nationality be appointed to promote the alliance of the different nationalities, the amicable settlement of international questions, the great and general interests of peace. And we remind our feminist brothers and sisters that that is exactly what it is all about. And we hope that we will keep that in mind as we go forth. Have a good holiday tomorrow, and we hope that you will say prayers for Marissa Alexander as she enters into her first week of a 20-year sentence. I'm Janice Graham, always speaking truth to power. We'll see you next week.
You've been tuned to Our Common Ground. I'm Janice Graham. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. And don't forget, here, Our Common Ground, each Saturday, 10 p.m., speaking truth to power and ourselves, transforming truth to power, one broadcast at a time. Have a great weekend.